Book of Daniel. We're in the book of Daniel. I don't know where y'all are, but I'm in the book of Daniel. Chapter 7. Now, the first six chapters have been all about Daniel and coming out of the captivity and being one of the chosen young men to serve the kings of Babylon. And then after the kings of Babylon were thrown out, the kings of Medo-Persia. And now we're going to get into the part that when God said, you're going to teach on Daniel, and I said, well, can I just teach through chapter 6? Because, Lord, I'm not a prophecy teacher. I don't claim to be a prophecy teacher. Go to that and, man, this is then and this is that, and this is going to happen here and now, and this is going to happen here and later. And, yeah, it's just not one that I look in the mirror and see. I don't see that guy. I don't see some prophetic teacher. But when the Lord commands you to do something, you just bite the bullet and you go ahead and do it. Amen?
So if it's lousy, we'll
feel it. Well, it won't be lousy because it's the Word of God. Because I'm probably not going to give you a date like 8-8-0-8 or something like that. You know, I probably won't give you that date. Man, I'm glad that date is over.
Why?
Because, you know, if something was going to happen on that date that I didn't know about, or, that'd be a good one to say. Now, on 8-8-0-8, anybody remember 88 reasons why Jesus was coming in 1988? Then the next year it was just fine in 89, and
heaven in 7,
something like that. Yeah. So I'm just glad 8-8-0-8 was Friday. Praise the Lord. You know, when you're watching those Olympics, it's just always amazing to me. It's beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful, all the opening ceremonies, but so godless. Amen? It's just incredibly, it doesn't matter what country's doing it, who's doing it, it's just incredibly built on this world. It's built on the thoughts of men. And so I'm all for athletes. I'm all for, competition. And it's just the one I tend to, I just turn the sound off if I'm watching that part. I don't want to hear the commentators. Last thing I want to hear is Matt Lauer, commenting on spiritual things, on how the earth is all one or something, whatever he says. I even know what he said. So praise God. How many are rooting for the U.S.? Amen. All these trick questions. What's the right answer? Amen. Because you love your country, you love your people, you love your God. I mean, your country is where you live, so you want it to be righteous. You want it to be godly. Amen. You know, I love my country because, man, it's a blessing because God opened the door and God caused it to be used as a beacon of righteousness and a beacon of the love of God. Now it's something else. But I'm not counting that. I'm not living in the past. I'm not living in what used to be. I'm living in what God designed and He put me in, and I'm still living in the benefit of it, even though the rest of it, it turned left, And that's not a political statement. It just turned away, God said don't turn. Some of them may have turned right, God said don't go to the left or to the right. Amen? He said follow me. So follow Him. Follow Jesus. Don't follow the Democrats. Don't follow the Republicans. I said, don't follow the Republicans. And don't follow the Democrats. Follow Jesus. Amen? Praise God. It'd be good. It'd be good for you to follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Jesus, how are you voting? Amen. Now, again, we were back here in Daniel, in the book of Daniel. And again, the first six chapters talked about the captivity, talked about the faithfulness of Daniel to and Daniel's hearing and wisdom and understanding of the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Spirit coming upon him to give him dreams and visions. And these are further dreams and visions in the seventh and subsequent chapters. And of course, we heard about, we understand that the vision of Daniel of Nebuchadnezzar's statue, of the statue, the giant 90-foot statue. And we saw that there were four kingdoms mentioned there, and we'll hear that again here. It's really powerful, again, for a young man to be filled with the Holy Ghost, for young people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. to be ready to know what God wants for them to do. We're training them up. We're raising them up. A lot of young people, though, they it takes a long time for them to grow up these days. Amen? I mean, 40 years ago, young people were they were growing up when they was 14. You know, they were working. They were trying to get into the army, trying to go to war. Today we have adolescence until you're 30, 35, until you have to grow up. Amen. Till you have a wife. It says, get out and go to work. We know stories. They're not my stories, so I won't mention any names. We know stories of those who are playing video games until they got married. And the wife got in there and threw out all the video games. Hey! Just playing video games? Yeah, you need to be working. You need to be coming up with a plan. Yeah, I can't do all this by myself. Don't want to do all this by myself. God's with me. Well, get out and work. So once you're married, most things kind of shape you up. I was married when I was 20. I didn't have a life. I never had a life. I got guys that are 23 and 26, 25. I keep trying to push them, 26. And, one of them, they're in school, they're working. And, of course, it's very expensive these days. And you don't want them coming back, so you want to make sure that when they're gone, they're gone for good. Amen. But, I got married. I had a part-time job. That was dumb, wasn't it? I didn't have a college degree, and I had a part-time job. I think my wife had a part-time job. She might have had a full-time job, but she was working for a ministry. Oh, golly. That's like having a part-time job. Amen. It's like having a part-time job working for a ministry. The way they don't pay much. Amen. That's back in 1979. Anybody remember Jimmy Carter? Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's get back to Daniel here. In chapter 7, it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. Okay, you remember now Belshazzar was the guy who was going to give Daniel a third part of the kingdom if he would read the handwriting on the wall for him. Of course, Daniel came in and glanced up at the handwriting on the wall, and he said, I really don't want any part of your kingdom because it ain't going to last past midnight. And so they gave him put the chain of gold around his neck, gave him a third part of the kingdom, and subsequently the king of Persia came in and took it all down around midnight that night. And so the first year of the king, year of Belshazzar, he's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And of course we remember that Belshazzar was aware of the plight of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, he was aware of the fact that his grandfather had been sent out to the back patio and the back pasture and eat grass for 7 years. He was aware of that. Yet, when Belshazzar came to the kingship, he lived for himself, did not live according to the dictate of his grandfather, which said, worship the God of Daniel. He didn't do that. He, in fact, took the vessels of the temple of the Jews and brought them in and partied with them, and of course by then that was the end of that story for him. So in the first year of Belshazzar, this is before all that took place. This is before the end of Belshazzar. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Now, and then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters in the dream, as he wrote. He did a journal. He journaled on the dream. Now, two things. The Psalms tell about meditating upon the Lord upon your bed. This is what Daniel's doing. I believe he's doing this, meditating upon the Lord. Well, I never got any visions. I never got any dreams. You need to start meditating upon the Lord upon your bed. Amen? Is meditating upon the Lord upon your bed. He says, when you rise up, when you lay down, when you're coming in, you're going out. This is how you teach your children. This is how you meet the Lord, is when you're going in and you're coming out, when you're lying down, when you're rising up. And so, and you meditate in the night watches upon your bed. That is to take what the Holy Spirit, the Lord has given you through whether it's preaching and teaching, it's discipleship that you're a part of, is write those things down, meditate them. You'll notice we're writing things down as the message comes forward, or you're taking home a tape or a CD, and you're meditating upon those things. You got two or three things maybe that kind of got your attention, and you want to meditate upon those things, not because it's some cool guy who said it, but it's something that the Holy Spirit brought to your attention. You got to not give credit to Pastor Jim or Pastor Dave or Joel Osteen or whoever you give credit to. You give credit to the Holy Ghost. You give glory to the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the guy who showed up and got up that morning and preached and spoke and listened to the Holy Ghost. But you need to thank the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and speak to Him upon your bed. Speak to Him when you're alone by yourself and thank Him and glorify Him. Say, Lord, thank You for revealing to me these things. Thank You for revealing to me the truth that is in Your Word. Thank You for coming to speak to me, because You, unlike Daniel had the Holy Spirit would come upon him from time to time. But you have a different story. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Jesus told you in John, He said the Holy Spirit is with you and He shall be in you. And now, if you've been born again, you have received the Holy Spirit because of faith. You've received the Spirit of the living God. Then subsequently, as He promised, He said, wait until you be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, baptized with power. That is, there's a subsequent baptism of the Holy Spirit after you've been born again. That's the inward witness. Our spirit bears witness with Him that we are the sons of God. But He said, wait. He said, originally, when Jesus rose from the dead, He came in among His disciples and He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, you're going to get the Holy Ghost eventually or next week. Now, He walked in the door and He... Everybody do that. Hope you brush your teeth. He breathed on them. Okay, maybe He didn't blow on them. Okay, maybe He just... But He breathed on them. It said He had made an action. He breathed on them and said at the same moment, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I believe at the same moment they received the Holy Ghost. They were transformed because Jesus was glorified. He'd been raised from the dead. The change had taken place. The sins of the world were forgiven. And at that moment, everyone who was a sinner was eligible to receive the Holy Ghost. Eligible to receive the salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And because He was raised, we have been raised. Amen. We died with Him, and now we're risen with Him. And so, but He said when He left, then when He was with them for 40 days, and then He was fixing to take off, and He said, wait. Okay, now guys, don't do anything. Wait until the Holy Ghost comes. Wait until you be endued with power from on high. Sounds like a Pentecostal thing. Well, because we relate it to the day of Pentecost. You know, it's Pentecostal is not like a group of people, you know, except for you. You know, Pentecostal just means that it happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen? It happened on the day of Pentecost. We know when it happened. Is that they were all gathered together for the feast of Pentecost, worshiping the Lord, magnifying God, waiting on the Lord. Because Jesus did say, not too many days from now, and all of a sudden, on the 50th day from the day that Jesus rose from the dead, that 10 days after He ascended, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the endowment with power came upon the disciples. That's the endowment that you have. You have the abiding Holy Spirit living with you now. Now, Daniel had the Holy Spirit come on him for purposes of ministry in a measure. That's the prophetic gift in the Old Testament, is the Holy Spirit would come on and would abide for a little bit and then depart. They would not operate all the time with that Holy Ghost on them. Even Elisha had a double portion of the Spirit for his ministry, but the Holy Spirit did not indwell him. The Holy Spirit did not indwell men at that time. Now, so we have the visions of his head upon his bed, and then he wrote the dream, and told the matters in the journal. It's good to write things down. It's good to write things down because you'll forget them. How many go to the grocery store and just forget? Lynn, is that like an amen? Okay, yeah. If you're in business, you don't want to forget you got a closing tomorrow or something. You know, you might go to the Bahamas or something. Oh, I can't. I got to go to work. So we write the things down. Write the things down because the Holy Spirit will give you things. Amen? I said the Holy Spirit will give you things. You just write them down. Just write things down. Just as you're praying, just write them down. Daniel spoke, and one more thing is when the Holy Spirit gives you something, do write it down. Like you, yeah, write it down. Those things just go away. They just go away. So you want to write those things down. Get you a little set of cards, keep them in your pocket. I'm serious. Yeah, get you a little 3x5 card. Get you something you won't lose. Get you a notebook that says God on it, journal on it, and have it handy. Have it by your bed. Have it by your bed. Don't forget to have a pen with it. Okay? Don't forget to have a pencil. You wake up, you never can find a pencil. Keep a pencil with you. So, verse 2, we're not moving very fast, are we? Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. Now, when you've got the four winds of heaven, is the four winds of heaven is a movement of the Spirit of God. God's doing something, all right? And he says here, and the four great beasts came up from the sea. So the great sea, typically the sea is people. Typically the sea is talking about the world, the nations, all right? So out of the nations, four beasts came up from the sea, out of the nations, and they were diverse from one another. Now the first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. See, it is lion, eagle, you know. How many know a lion, king of the jungle? Amen? I think they kind of had that idea then too. Lion is powerful. Eagle, pretty much one of the most powerful of the birds. So in other words, we're not talking about a sparrow. We're not talking about a dove. We're not talking about a raven. Because we've had all those birds brought up in the scripture as well. What are we talking about? An eagle. So we've got a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. Sound like if an eagle could fly and had a lot of dominion. Eagle probably has a lot of dominion, doesn't he? Huh? You know, I'm Lord of all I see. Well, what happens if your wings get plucked, Mr. Eagle? You don't quite see as much. I think you begin to diminish. So when you got eagle's wings and you get plucked, you begin to diminish. You begin to go down. You begin to lose your authority and your power. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. So now you're not flying around and you're not a lion. You're just standing up as a man. So you've been reduced. You've been reduced to, you're no longer a god. You're no longer a king. You're just a man. Now, you remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, do you not? Is that he became more like a cow. He became more like a pet. He was out in the backyard. They had a chain around his neck so he wouldn't wander off, and fed him grass for 7 years. And then he came back and glorified God. God even kept his position ready for him. He kept his throne. Didn't let anybody get on the throne. That was pretty powerful. Those guys, man, those were mean. If you got grandpa out back, you're probably going to get rid of him. But no, they took care of him. They took care of pet him. The grandkids came out and pet him every day. And they took him out and they took care of him. And he came back because God held a place. How many know if God's holding your place, your place is going to be held? Amen? That's a good word. Amen. You may need to know that. If God's holding your place, nobody can take it from you. Amen? Hallelujah. So there we are, and a man's heart was given to it. See, of course, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar is he began to know that God was God. He began to know that God was the King of Kings. Amen? All right, now here, And another, but Babylon at the same time it was beginning to be diminished. And behold, another beast. You'll remember. We'll refer back to the second chapter. Let's see here. Am I right? Well, we'll remember back to Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the. And the tall statue, and the top part of the statue was a gold statue. And of course, then later on, the next chapter, Nebuchadnezzar decided if the top was him, because remember the dream was about the top part of the statue, the gold part is you, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he thought, cool. So in chapter 3, he decided he'd get rid of the other parts of the statue and just make it all gold, make it all him. Right? See, he made himself a statue of gold, 90 feet tall. See, in the dream, the top part was gold, and in the middle, the head was gold, and the middle part was, the torso was silver, and the loins were bronze, and then the two legs were iron. Okay, representative of the four kingdoms that we had seen earlier in our study. And then now, so he decided in chapter 3 to make that statue just, hey, if there is going to be a next kingdom according to the dream, why don't I just decide that my kingdom's not going to go away, and we're going to make the whole statue of gold, and that's not my statement. My kingdom will be never ending. Well, God didn't say that, did he? He said there'll be another kingdom that's never ending, but it's not yours. So you ought to just be happy. Just enjoy what you got, and when it's over, it's over. God will bless, God will take care of you. It's okay. Don't hold on to what you have. Amen? Don't act like this is the only thing. It could be nothing better. Don't even think like that. Listen to me. You know, just rejoice in the things that you have today. Rejoice in that. God's got other plans, because it's not about what you're doing, what you have and what you keep. It's not about the possessions that you gain or gather, but it's about what is the will of God. What has God said for you to do? See, you're not in this world to build up treasure. You're not in this world to, even though it's a blessing to give an inheritance, well, I'm giving an inheritance to my children's children, and I'm going to enjoy it all the way there. Hope they have some left over when I get done. But listen, your business is only kingdom business. The reason you're here is kingdom business. Amen? Hello? I said the reason you're here is kingdom business. Amen? If you've got a business, wonderful. It's to supply your gospel ministry. I don't feel like I'm called to the ministry, brother. Well, you're wrong. Do you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you? Are you born again? You have gospel. You have a gospel ministry. Whoever you talk to hears about Jesus. Whoever you know. Well, my ministry is just a fund. Is to fund the gospel ministry. Well, that's good. I'm glad you do that, but that's not your only ministry. Your ministry is because the Bible said, it didn't say you're a bag of money. By the scripture said, you are the light, didn't he? I said, Jesus said, you are the light. You are the light of the world. He didn't tell you to be the light. He didn't say, work it up. He didn't say, become a light. He didn't say, plug yourself in. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Your nature has been changed. You're no longer of this world. You're, in fact, of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, as you worship God, as you spend time in His presence, you're going to begin to transform the world around you. I said you're going to begin to transform the world around you just as you come into the presence of the King. As you're worshiping God, not worrying about all your sins, you can't do anything about those anyway. Well, I can stop sinning. Baloney. If you could have stopped sinning, we wouldn't need Jesus. Aren't you something? Man, you stopped sinning. No, you didn't. You're just lying. You're just lying more. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't this fun? How come nobody sits up front? Everybody sits in the back. Maybe I should back up. Maybe people can sit in the front. Does Pastor Jim spit? We'll get a shield. We'll get a spit shield. Amen. All right. Now, so you're growing and you're becoming a demonstration of the gospel of the Holy Spirit. You are the light of the world. Okay? And so now, let's go back over here. I always get into other chapters here. Okay, so those four beasts have come up. We had the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar going down. And then we have the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians coming up as Belshazzar has depleted. And so at the end of his reign. And Daniel is now the third guy in the kingdom, which you think that could be kind of a dangerous position to have. And yet the Holy Spirit miraculously caused Daniel to become a minister to King Darius in the Medo-Persian kingdom. He was the top guy. He was a top guy in Babylon, and all of a sudden became a top guy in Persia. Imagine that. Went from Iraq to Iran and held his position. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. And he became the number one. You remember? He appointed, remember where Darius appointed 120 princes. He appointed three presidents over those, three presidents, and then Daniel became the first president. Just there were three equal presidents, but Daniel rose up above them just by nature of his gifting and his office, and he became the top to the king, right up there where he was in Babylon. He was right up there next to King Darius in Persia. All right? So God is exalting those who worship him. Don't look for the exaltation. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. As you worship him, you're going to be set in a position of in a place of influence. Because God's interested in his influence being influential. Amen. He likes that. Eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Find one who's going to be faithful. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, now. And behold, another beast, a second, which is like to a bear, verse 5, and it raised itself up on one side, had three ribs in the mouth of it, so it's been eaten. And, of course, apparently that's what happened is with Persia. They came over and ate Babylon. So that bear came over and ate them. And it raised itself up on one side, had three ribs in the mouth and between the teeth of it. And they said to it, arise and devour much flesh. So that bear got up and devoured much flesh. And that was the second kingdom, Medo-Persia. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings and of a fowl, of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. All right, now that third beast is going to be likened unto, and of course this is Daniel before all this took place. But we have the history to look back on it and to compare these visions and these dreams to those kingdoms, those major kingdoms in the Middle East that came after Babylon. And this kingdom would be likened unto Alexander the Great, Greece, the next great kingdom that came in and wiped out the rule of the Medes and Persians. Is Alexander the Great of Greece. Now, Alexander died very young. He was incredible, incredible military power, but died young. And he had four generals, and that's what the four wings, are the four generals that Grecian empire split into when Alexander the Great had perished. Okay, because it had four wings on the back of a fowl, but the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. So after that, after the leopard, which was a very speedily moving kingdom. If you remember your world history, Alexander the Great, it's just like a flash, had just taken over the entire known world at the time. And after this, verse 7, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. So not like the bear, just had bear teeth. This had great iron teeth. It's characterized as dreadful and terrible. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And 10 horns indicates rulers or leaders or kings. So it had 10 kings. All right? Now, the kingdom here it refers to is the Roman kingdom. The Roman kingdom was the most widespread, most powerful, most organized kingdom that had yet reigned upon the earth. It was a kingdom that was overwhelming. It was a kingdom that was unstoppable. When Rome came, you're done. You either capitulate or you get killed. You get wiped out. Your whole civilization gets wiped out. So it is the irresistible force in that world. And I considered the horns, verse 8, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. So we have 10 kings, 10 rulers. And as you are looking at those 10 kings, and I'm not going to, again, this is one of the ones I'm not going to try to define for you, you know, who those kings were. There's a multitude of opinions on who these kings were. Some of them include guys like Napoleon and all guys. Other people ignore Napoleon. And, you know, they pick up some of the Ottoman Empire rulers. And some of them do. Some of them pick others. So you can pick many others. In verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. So in other words, we had 10 horns. Here comes another one. Hey, what's that? What's that little guy coming up? Where is he coming up? Is that 11? Is that 11th horn? Say, well, maybe. But here comes one up. Yeah, he was unknown to the 10s, maybe at 11. But then three of the existing 10 were destroyed, plucked up by the roots. The other seven apparently remain in some lesser capacity, but the ten, but of out of the 10, three of them were plucked up by the roots when this little one came up. Okay, so this little one apparently came up out of unknown, came up from somewhere. It was not one of the 10. All right. So now those three were plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn, the little horn that came up, were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones, and I kept watching until all these thrones were cast down. These kingdoms that have just been described, all these kingdoms, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, we sang that this morning, Ancient of Days, the Mighty One, the Ancient One, the God of Heaven, the Creator, the One who created heaven and earth and all things. The Ancient of Days did sit. You know, when He sits, that means judgment. When He sits, that means judgment time. Whose garment was as white as snow, and hair of His head like the pure wool. So is this Jesus sitting on the throne, the Ancient of Days, the Judge of all the earth. His throne was like the fiery flame, and His wheels as a burning fire. You remember, if you'll read in the book of Revelation, we have this vision. We have this vision. And a fiery stream, verse 10, issued and came forth from Him. Thousands ministered to Him. That's a million. And 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million, stood before Him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. You can refer back to Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 20. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. So we're back to the horn. This guy was uppity. If you look at verse 8 again, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I am something. You ever heard anybody speak great things? A lot of men speaking a lot of great things. Praise the Lord. Men can speak great things, but men need to give glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. You need to give glory to God. Maybe you're great at what you do. Give glory to God. Open your mouth. Take time. Stop. Stop. Stop being great. Worship the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. Lord, thank You that You're God. I'm not God. You're good. You loved me. You forgave me. And I beheld, verse 11, then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, that little horn. And I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. That's the big beast. That's the number four beast. As concerning the rest of the beast, number one, twos, and one, two, and three, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions. Okay, we're back. He's realizing, okay, I'm back in my night visions. And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So, okay, let's define this. Is here in Daniel specifically, they brought the one to the Ancient of Days. The one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given to him, so the one who was brought before the Ancient of Days is Jesus. And I'll clarify. The one who's brought before the King, the Ancient of Days, is Jesus. And there was given him dominion. Jesus is given dominion. He's given authority. He's given the kingdom and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion, the one who's brought before the Ancient of Days, his dominion, the one who is as like as the Son of Man, Jesus' dominion, is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now I, Daniel, was grieved, verse 15, and my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So when you're having a dream, how many of you get a little disturbed from time to time? Dreams get pretty real. They get pretty vivid. So Daniel, and especially when it's a dream given by the Holy Spirit. Daniel was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of the, hey, what's this? What is all this? So he told me. And he made me know the interpretation of the things. Now here it is. Here's the interpretation of the things. Verse 17. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. That's back in verse 3, four beasts. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. This is a good promise back here in Daniel. He said, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. That's a long time. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. What about that fourth beast now? Which was diverse and different from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron. You remember this? He's explaining it. It's kind of like, okay, describe the guy so the guy knows exactly who he's talking about. You know, the one with the teeth of iron and his nails were brass, which devoured in broken pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And the guy says, oh yeah, that one. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, the little horn, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. There's a big horn, heavy horn. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Well, you went through all that just to make sure the guy knew what he was talking about. Thus he said, so here's the answer to his question. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are the 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Shall wear out the saints. and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, until a time, times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So far is the end of the matter. And as for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed me. But I kept the matter in my heart. So as he's talking to the angel is describing to him that the kingdom, the fourth kingdom, and the little horn, which became a stout horn, putting down three other kings, coming up high above the other ten, or the other seven at this point, speaking great words against, verse 25, listen to that. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And he shall think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. It's the Antichrist. Now, how many Antichrists have we seen?
None that change time.
But they do. They do. They change. They change everything. They came in and change everything that you know. They come in to change everything that you know. Again, all of these. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now we know that there was an Antichrist who came in and destroyed the temple in the days of Jerusalem. There was a first destruction. And there is a second destruction. They're ready to build a new temple. Today, we're not looking forward to building the temple so we can give sacrifices. You know, it's kind of like folks, well, why are you so excited about building a temple? Well, because when the temple gets built, it's sign of the end. It's going to happen again, because all those sacrifices are no good. They were no good then, when the temple went down. See, God already opened the door to let everybody into the Holy of Holies. You remember when Jesus died, when he said it is finished and he gave up the ghost? Remember what happened to inside the temple? What happened? The temple had a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, between where the priest ministered and then where the blood was spattered day after day or once a year. And so that veil was ripped from the top, very tall, very high, very thick. It's like it's bigger than a telephone book, right? Remember the power team? You know, ripping those phone books in half. This thing was yards tall. I mean, you'd have to be standing on some ladder or something, and this thing was feet thick of material. You couldn't grab it by the binding, you know. I'll say Steve could tear a phone book in half. I'm not going to claim I will because y'all want to see me. Steve, we could go get him one of those phone books back there, and he work it just right, and you tear that in half. That's like when you knock one of those boards in half with your little knuckle. You do it just right, and you can do it. Amen? You can do it just right. Yeah, she can do it. She can knock that board, pow, you know. Break that board, it'd be good. Well, we can get one. Would you like to try it? No? Okay. And we can get Ivan a phone book. It'd be good. No. But this thing, you can't get a hold of it. It's too much material. Besides that, you couldn't get two hands around it. It's like 3 feet thick. This thing is massive. And it was ripped from the top. I said from the top to the bottom. God decided, okay, everybody come on in. It's over. Everybody's welcome. Come on in. Now all your sins are forgiven. Everybody can come. Everybody. Now, the blood that got spattered today was the blood of Jesus. Everybody can come in. This is the eternal sacrifice forever. Everybody can come in. And so we have that. We have that. So God said, okay, temple worship's over. Temple sacrifices is all over today. You know, it's all over. But they sewed that curtain back up. And for another 40 years, for another generation, for another 40 years, they kept going. And God just tapping his foot. Then here come the Romans. Knock that temple down. Jesus said that his temple's going to be falling down and there's not going to be one stone left upon another. Sure enough, not one stone left upon another. Is that temple was torn down. It was no longer necessary. Because who's the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the temple of the Holy Ghost is his people. So he no longer needs a temple to dwell in made with hands. He's got a temple in you. He lives in you. He dwells in you. The Holy Spirit, the God himself. And he lives with you every day. He lives with you all day. He lives with you every night. He lives with you all night. He doesn't need a temple. You don't need to go to Jerusalem. You don't need to look to Jerusalem. You got a lot of folks who still want to keep all the feasts. All the feasts are being kept. They're kept in Jesus. All the feasts are kept in Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the total fulfillment, Jesus Christ, and is in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So now we have that. But then we also have a prophetic definition showing that there is another temple coming. That there is another temple coming. They're going to try it again. You know, and the reason the Christians are excited about it is not because we're into animal sacrifices and we like temples. It's because what we see is that there is a day coming when, you know, many believe that, well, the temple's gone and Jesus already came and all the nonsense. He hadn't come like he said he was going to come. He hadn't shown up yet, but he's coming. Well, they'd said that for years. Yeah, but some of the things in here hadn't happened until now. Some things haven't happened until now. You haven't seen the gospel throughout the whole earth like you see now. You haven't seen an angel preaching the gospel from heaven like they do now. Everywhere is being reached now. There are no hidden places. Well, I know of a group. There's a hidden group. God will get them. I mean, there's places, we've been tons of places in Africa. Once they got satellite and cell phones, man, that was it. Satellite and cell phones, man, you can get Oprah anywhere. Amen? I mean, you can get it anywhere. But you can get the gospel anywhere, too. I mean, preaching throughout the whole earth. The word of God shall go to and fro all over the earth. Preached in all the earth. The gospel of the kingdom being preached in all the earth, and then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. So there are many things that are being fulfilled today that have never been fulfilled before. And in these days, we see that the Holy Spirit is moving. And there will be another, and there have been many antichrists. But this one with the temple, we believe, will be the one that comes in and again destroys throws down the altar. That's not because God's in the altar. God's in you and me. God not in the altar. But that moment, he's going to set himself up as God. This guy's going to set himself up as God. Again, we're not worried about the Jewish tradition. That's not the issue. See, I think a lot of folks get all confused with that. Say, well, okay, he stopped the daily sacrifice and God got mad. No, God didn't care. God was not into daily sacrifice. He's not into daily sacrifice today. Amen? Even if they get the temple rebuilt, he's not going to be into daily sacrifice. But he is into his people. He's into his people. And so what he's interested in is his people bowing the knee. His people. That's right. Amen. He's interested in his people saying, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen? And again, and that's going to happen next Tuesday. No. I told you, I'm going to stay away from that. I'm going to stay. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when that's going to happen. Jesus said it's in the hand of the Father. You know, when his disciples said, hey, are you going to restore the kingdom now? He said, my Father knows about that. My Father knows the times and the seasons that he's kept to himself. Amen? He knows the times and seasons he's kept to himself. I don't think it was 8808, because that was 2 days ago. And he's not here yet. Or I'm still here. Are you pre-trib or post-trib? He said, well, I'm going on the first load. If I'm post-trib and you're pre-trib and Jesus shows up, I'm going with you. If you're pre-trib and I'm post-trib, are you going to stay with me or are you going ahead of time? Are you going early? Who would you go with? Amen. Why don't you wait for Jesus? Don't go early. You remember those people who used to get up in their little white robes and sell everything, get up on top of the church down there in Fort Worth? Not our church, but it is a different church. Joe Schumack. Had his name right on the side of the church. Joe Schumack. Joe Schumack's church on West Berry. That thing stood for a lot of years. They got back down and all their money was gone. Joe Schumack was gone too. Hallelujah. So be wary if we ever tell you to turn in all your offerings and get in your white robe and get on top of the church. Yeah, flee to the hills. Don't go up in the mountain. Don't go up on the church. Then somebody takes your ladder and you can't get down from the church. Well, God is good. Amen? God is good. How many know the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ? We've got a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things going on in the world. Who's going to be president? I don't know, but it's exciting, isn't it? Are you worried? Are you devoted to your man, to your candidate? Praise the Lord. Me neither. Glory to God. Is there change coming? Always. There's always change coming. Look to Jesus. Rejoice. Have fun. Amen? Well, I'm in debt. Rejoice. All my debts are paid and I don't owe anybody. Fear God. Don't rejoice in your freedom. Rejoice in God. Amen? I mean, just because you're in good shape, don't rejoice in that. Amen? Listen to me. Don't rejoice in the fact that you're in good shape, everything's paid, and don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in the Lord your God. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And there's somebody else who's having trouble. Ask Jesus, do I help? He may say no. Because a lot of people are in trouble because they don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to handle money. So at the time, they may not need money. Maybe they need some. They may need some food, but they may not need money. Because if you don't know how to handle money, it'll just go away. Amen? I know that. I've been there. Praise God. If you know how to handle money, teach somebody. If you see somebody in trouble, they'll despise you for it. They may hate you for it. They just want you to give them some money. Well, they don't need any money. They're not ready. Now, how did I get off into this? It's because this world is a mess. And if you're blessed, thank God. And if you appear to be tight, thank God. Amen? If things appear to be troublesome, thank God. See, we have all these stories of all of these kingdoms. But you know what? See, these kingdoms came and went, came and went, came and went. And guess what? People came and went too, didn't they? Amen? We know about all the great kings of Europe have been going through some of the history of Europe. And you go through so quickly through these kingdoms and through these leaders and kings and all of this. And you imagine the millions of people who came up and down throughout all these kingdoms. Popes. All these all these dominions. And those people were you and me. Their names aren't written down. Charles V, his name is written down. But Chad, his you know, little guy who lived 10 miles outside the castle, his name wasn't written down. But God knew his name. Amen? How many people have there been who've lived and died? You never heard of them. You've never heard of them. And how many is that? How many of you, that's you? I'm one of those people who lived and died and nobody ever heard of me. Amen? I don't know what God will do. I don't want my name written down. I don't care. But I want God to have dominion. I want God to do what He's going to do. Because, you know, God knows me. He loves me. Every hair on my head is counted. He numbers it. He loves me. My name is written in His book. Amen? Are you rejoicing? You are powerful. You are awesome. You are chosen by God because you're sitting in this room. You're sitting in this room availing yourself of the word of the kingdom of God. Is that because God has called you? He said, no man can come to me unless the Father draw him, her. And you're here. You're here because God wanted you here. Oh, brother. No, I don't care how you feel about it. You're here because God wanted you here. And if you'll remember the word that you're hearing, is that God will bless it. God, you plant that word in your own life. Say amen. See, you say amen. When you hear this, when you hear the word, say amen. Plant it. Plant it. Saying amen, that's planting it in your own person, in your own life. Amen? Hallelujah. So you take that word, you begin to plant it, you begin to meditate on it. That's watering it. You begin to meditate upon it. And you begin to sing, and you begin to praise God. You put hope and faith in the kingdom of heaven. You put hope and faith in the Lord your God, no matter what circumstance you're in, whether your business is up, whether your business is down, whether your kids are up, whether your kids are down, whether your marriage is up, whether your marriage is down. Nothing moves you because you're worshiping the living God. See, all of these things, the enemy wants to get you and shake you. But you can't be shaken. You can't be shaken because the living God dwells in you. You cannot be shaken. Maybe you can be bumped, but I'm not afraid. Amen? I used to be afraid, and then it might be something that might make me afraid tomorrow, but it's only emotional fear. If I know that I have a God who loves me, and I have an enemy, though, who hates me, and I'm aware of it, and I know he's going to try to shake me up and bump me around, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to be moved by it. Well, yeah, brother, just you wait. Well, fine, maybe I will be moved by it, but I won't be destroyed. See, if you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, we're troubled on every side. Paul is talking about his ministry, and he's talking about his existence in the earth. He said, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Amen? I'm troubled on every side, but I'm saying I'm not distressed. I didn't hear you. Worst of all, you didn't hear you. If I didn't hear you, I know you didn't hear you. I'm not distressed. I'm troubled on every side. Yeah, I see that. But I'm not distressed. I'm perplexed. Perplexed is a great word, isn't it? That is, I don't know what's going on. You know how that is. You know, where stuff is happening, and you don't know exactly why, and you can't figure out where it's coming from. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Say it, I'm not in despair. See, now you're not talking yourself into it. You're just repeating what God said about it. He said, see, here, listen. I'm troubled on every side. That's the outward. That's the outward. But the inward is the reaction. The response. I'm not distressed. So, the outward man is troubled on every side. The inward man, that is the man of the heart, the man that is born again, woman that is born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, founded in God, established in righteousness. God loves me. He's not mad. He's not holding my sins against me. Jesus got all my sins, even the ones I did right just now. Yes. Even the ones I'm going to fix to do in my head right now, just the ones I thought of, I was going to swear. And I was going to say the wrong word. You know, I was going to say those words that they're saying on TV now. And the FCC won't stop them. I was going to say one of those words. But I'm not in distress. The truth is I'm not in distress. Daniel was not in distress. He was kind of over here, you know, this dream is kind of wild. But over here, he's founded upon a rock. Are you founded upon a rock? Amen. Jesus is the rock. I'm founded upon a rock. Can't move me. Great were the storms that came. Great were the winds and the waves. And they beat upon that house. The house on the rock stood firm. The house on the rock stood firm. Learn that in Sunday school. Then you forget it. But when you grow up. So you're standing firm. I'm perplexed. Seem like I'm getting a little worried over here. Oh, get back over here. But I'm not in despair. I'm not. I kind of see that guy like he's over there. Poor guy. Man, he needs to trust God. Because I'm over here looking at me, you know, getting perplexed. But here I am, me, in Christ. See, because you have an outward man that gets buffeted, and then you have this guy in the middle of the road here deciding which side to go on. He's deciding which side to go on, right? Okay, am I going to go ahead and be afraid, or am I going to trust that God loves me? See, if I trust that God loves me, and I'm convinced of that, and daily I walk this way more often than I'm walking back over here, because then I'm established because of what God promised. I'm established. So let's say it again, and then I'm going to go. We're troubled on every side. But I'm not in distress. I'm over here. I'm perplexed. But I'm not in despair. Because I am standing on the rock. Who am I? I am in Christ. Now the guy over there with his trying to keep his raincoat on and trying to, you know, hold on to the pole, you know, so he won't get blown away. I'm over here standing on the rock. I'm not getting blown away. I don't believe I'll ever be blown away because Jesus Christ is my righteousness, and God loves me and He's cared for me. Now it may look on the outside to somebody else, and it may even look to you and your family. On the outward man, it looks like you may have been destroyed. Not a problem. Not a problem. You may look like you've lost everything. Not a problem. It's not a problem. It seems like a problem. No, it's not a problem because you're founded upon a rock. Nothing can destroy you. You know, bad example. You know, who's the guy who's lost it 20 times and always come back? Who's that? Some business guy. You know, he just keeps coming back. He just keeps coming back because he knows he never can be defeated. That's a natural thought. That's a natural example. Okay? So, he's perplexed, but he's not in despair. Persecuted. You look like you're forsaken over there. It looks like, where'd God go? You know, like Jesus on the cross? It looks like God forgot you. Hey, where's your God? You said He was your Father. Jesus over here. He's standing right over here saying, I'm not forsaken. Now, He said from His body over there, you know, why have you forsaken me? And you know, it's he from the heart, He knew God hadn't forsaken Him. Okay? So you persecuted. Looked like you sunk. Man, that guy's sunk. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Over here, I know. I know whom I have believed, and He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day, the day of the Lord's coming. That is, when He's coming, I'm His. And finally, cast down, totally wiped, totally destroyed. Man, standing over your grave, people standing over your grave. Man, too bad. You're over here going, I'm not destroyed. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. Amen? Cast down but not destroyed. Remember that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, I believe. And that's Daniel, you know. Is that, you know, when they came to get him and threw him in the lion's den, or they came, you know, they came to get him, he's praying, you know, left his windows open when they found out he was, because the guys were against him. They wanted to get him. The only way they could get him was on prayer. So I remember a song when I was growing up, a young song, said they took him off in a kneeling position. They just kind of picked him up, hauled him off. They threw him to the lions, but the lions wouldn't eat him. Then the king came in and said, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? Oh, king, live forever. Coming out of the behind the rock in the lion's den. Amen. God is good. He's good. He tells us what's going to happen in the future. We win. Amen. Glory to God. Well, God is good. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we magnify you. We exalt you. We praise you. We thank you that your goodness is forever. And I just ask you, Lord God, now to just minister by your Spirit to those who have heard the word today, and that they would receive your ministry. And I thank you, Lord God, that there is none that can defeat us because we're in Christ Jesus. Just as none could defeat Daniel because he had given himself over to the ministry of the Lord. He'd given himself over to the Holy One. And we've given ourselves over to the Holy One. And we shall see in these days visions and dreams, as you have promised in the book of Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out of my Spirit upon men and women, upon men and women. And they shall, your old men shall see dreams and your young men shall see visions. We thank you for it. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who abides in us forever. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. Chad?